Before we start the episode, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the country we live and work on, which for me is the Darug and Gundungurra peoples, and for Holly is the Ngunnawal and Gambri peoples. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
As always, we can only speak from our own perspectives and experience, and especially with this kind of episode, we are providing our own extremely generalised opinions. You need to use your own discretion for your own situation. There will be things that we say all the time on this show that other workers will strongly disagree with, and you need to assess your provider-client dynamic independently to decide what is appropriate. Try and err on the side of tact where possible.
Welcome to Somebody You Love. Or the sale of two titties. I'm Jenna Love.
And I'm Holly Hart.
And we're experts in disappointing our parents, breaching community guidelines, and banging the people who vote against our rights. So Holly came up with the idea for this episode, and we put out some question boxes on social media asking what are the kind of tricky questions or things that you want to say to providers that you find it very difficult to word in a tactful way, or you're not sure if you should ask or you shouldn't, or, you know, all that sort of thing. And we thought we would try and help you navigate these sticky questions. So these are almost all things that people asked us to give you help with. So hopefully this is helpful.
A lot of these questions that we are discussing today are things we have discussed in other episodes, and at the risk of being repetitive, it is just also another thing that people ask. Like, you talk about really broad things on the show, and a lot of abstract situations, but I have a really close relationship with this provider, or I've been seeing this provider for a while, and I have some really like personal situations where I need to bring things up, or where I felt like I want to talk about things and I don't know how to approach them. So like we said, this is stuff that we've talked about on the show before, a lot of these things, and you've probably already decided what is appropriate, and a lot of people have made decisions for how they like to communicate, but we just want to help a little bit with approaching these sorts of things with somebody that you already have that relationship with and not wanting to burn any bridges.
So the first question is, how do I tell the sex worker that she has some toilet paper stuck to her bits? So you're working your way down the body, she opens up her legs and you're like, yes, it's pussy time. And then you discover there's these little, you know, pills, little rolled up white flecks. What do you say?
I hope my clients are thinking, yes, pussy time, on their way down. That's like that's an inner monologue I want to hear. I think you need to put that. That's got to be on the next round of T-shirts. Yes, pussy time.
That's what I always think. Every time I'm going down on a woman, I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's pussy time.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think with something like this, doing it immediately and really like clinically is the best way. I think if you hold off and say something later, it's so fucking awkward. It's like when you've been talking to someone for like 20 minutes and then they're like, oh, by the way, you've got, and you're like, sucking in your teeth. Are you kidding? It's been there the whole time. Say, like, let me know, you douche canoe. It's so frustrating. So I think just get it out of the way and be really, really chill about it. So something like, I think you've got something stuck down there, or even if you're really familiar, and this again is something you need to really just feel out with the provider that you're with. But if you're really, really familiar, you can just say, hey, do you have a wet wipe, and quickly mop up whatever you need to mess yourself if you're really familiar. I wouldn't do that on your first booking with somebody you don't really know, but if you've been seeing each other for years, probably not going to stress too much, in my opinion, if you just sort that out yourself. I do the same thing often with clients when they've got something on their face or whatever. I think when you're spending all that time in close proximity with someone, you'll look over and you'll go, let me just, and it's some people get a bit awkward about it, but it's not a big deal. We are being really intimate and bodies have awkward things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon to go down and there's like even sometimes just like a little bit of fluff off their knickers or something. You know, there's just like something there. And if it's like you're also – what I often do is just like flick it away and then get on with my business. But if you're not comfortable doing that, that's totally fine. And if you would rather them, you know, give themselves a wipe over, I would suggest rather than saying, oh, I think you've got something – down there, actually saying, I think you might have some toilet paper stuck.
Yeah.
Because if somebody said to me, oh, I think you've got something down there, I would be like, oh my goodness, is it blood? Is it poo?
Oh my God,
what
yes,
is it?
Right.
And then, but if it's toilet paper, I'm like, oh, whatever. It's just that I literally wiped myself after going to the loo, which is which is fine.
Yeah, those things you are so good.
So I think actually just saying that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually say what it is, I think is probably better.
You're good. Yeah. Very, very good point. The next question is, I arrive and she doesn't look like the pictures. What do?
Yeah, so this one, I guess it depends how different to the pictures, right? Because all of us, like we've talked about this on the show before, we don't put our least flattering photos up for marketing. That wouldn't make any sense. So even people who do very, very little retouching and editing of their photos, they're still putting up photos that are them at their most flattering. Also, like our professional photos, a lot of people hire a professional hair and makeup artist. They have a professional photographer and someone to retouch the photos. So if you are arriving expecting us to look like we do in our professional photos, you're probably not going to get that. So that like that's kind of on you, right? So that's a factor. We also just people do look a bit different in person, and especially with providers who blur out their tattoos or don't show their face, your brain sometimes imagines something in particular and then the reality can be different. So, you know, in that case, I think you just have to accept that maybe your brain went a little bit wild and you were imagining Megan Fox and that's not reality.
And like, it was Chelsea from Love is Blind. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Who is smoking?
Who's still gorgeous. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. But it's a different story when it's a completely different person, right? And that's where it gets really tricky.
Like you said, if somebody just looks a little bit different than their photos because a three-dimensional person just does look different in a photo and people age a little bit and can't get a new photo every week and people's weight fluctuates and people's hair color changes and all of that, really, that's you know, I think when you purchase any product, when you purchase any product or when you are buying something based on an appearance, you have to have some realistic expectations. And I think that that is on you to manage those expectations. But when you arrive and the person is just a different human being than what you were expecting to meet, that is a problem. And we can definitely say that, yeah, there's an issue there. I don't think it happens incredibly often. And I think we've discussed before on the show, doing your research to try and make sure that you have a legitimate provider. And, you know, then we could go into a whole thing about what is a legitimate provider. But, yeah, doing your research to try and make sure you're meeting somebody that is that has a social media presence, maybe that has a website, that has a history, that sort of has things that legitimize them as a business, is usually going to help you to arrive and not meet somebody that isn't the person that is advertised. I mean, if it seems too good to be true, then it probably is. If you're seeing an ad for $6 natural services with a Victoria's Secret model, then probably you're going to arrive and there's not going to be what you're expecting. So using those skills is really important. But if you somehow get yourself into that sort of situation, which as I said, I think is incredibly rare, and it's not the person that you we're expecting to meet entirely, it's a different human being, then you're allowed to walk away. Are you sacrificing a deposit? Potentially. You can try and ask for that back. I think that's not an unreasonable thing to try and ask for that deposit back in that situation where it's a whole different person. But also I do wonder at what point do you just cut your losses and say, well, this is not worth me engaging and chasing and getting into stress about, just move on. So yeah. Tough one though.
Yeah. And from my understanding, in when this sort of thing does happen, a lot of the time the person who's greeting you at the door actually knows nothing about it. So it means that there's like an agency or management or something, and they've been putting ads up and presumably just sending whoever's available or whatever. And so the person arrives, and I've spoken to workers who have had this experience, and it must be awful for them because they arrive thinking that they are what the client has asked for. And that's what their agent or their manager, whoever, sends them out or, you know, sends the client to them. And they don't actually know. So there is an element, and that doesn't, like, you shouldn't, as a client, you know, as any consumer, if there's been a bait and switch going on, you know, yes, absolutely, it is your right to walk away. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it's very likely that it's actually not the person you're talking to that has done the bait and switch. And so please don't take it out on them. Also, the other thing is if you are going to continue ahead with it, because I do hear a lot that people do go ahead with it, there's an element of sunken cost going on there where they're like, oh, well, I've come this far and I'm horny and I, you know, and they are banking on that being the case and you following through with it.
Sure.
Also, you may find the person who's there quite attractive and you might go, actually, yeah, I'm happy with that anyway. But what I would say is if you do make the decision to go ahead with it, re-clarify what the session will entail, how much it's going to cost and what they offer. Because if it's a situation where this where there is an agency and they've just got all these people on their books and they just send them out, they are likely not checking what everyone's boundaries are and all that. They're just saying yes to you. So if so, you may want to go ahead with it and just make sure you say, okay, just so you know, I think something's there's been a bit of miscommunication here, so can I just check what you offer? How long this, like just that sort of stuff. But absolutely, you are within your right to walk away.
Very, very good points.
Next question is, how do I tell my regular provider that I want to do something different this time?
It's really important that you let your provider know in advance of these sorts of things. I do appreciate some people feel like that's a little bit clinical or a bit impersonal to do it via text, or people think it's a bit naff to discuss those sorts of details by text message or whatever. But you have to remember, this is a business. It's fine. That's our job, is to clarify details, and it's really nice to be able to establish those boundaries and to discuss those things in advance with some notice, so that you can prepare yourself mentally for whatever is being requested of you, or to agree or disagree. Sometimes when you're in the moment, you can feel a little bit of pressure, and it's, I don't know, it's just really, it's not a nice position to put somebody into to make a decision on the spot like that, particularly when it comes to sexual services and potentially more niche sexual services, if that's what you're looking for. This might not even be about that. Maybe it's I've just decided that blowjobs is something I don't really enjoy anymore, and I don't really want to do that. I think that if you're wanting to add on something a little bit more niche, that's something I think is important to let them know in advance. But something like, oh, I want to do a bit less, or there's something that we usually do that I don't feel like I have to do this time, you can either let them know in advance, or on the day you can say, look, you know, and there's, I think a lot of people worry about offending us, but again, this is our job. We do have pride in our jobs, but we're not going to be emotionally upset that, oh, you don't like my blowjobs. And things change. We've said before on the show that there are different parameters what we enjoy in different times in our life, that we enjoy some things more. And sometimes, some weeks, our genitals prefer this or they prefer that. So if you've just decided that you've tested X a few times and you don't like it anymore, there's no worries to say, actually, do you know what? I've just found that lately blowjobs aren't really doing it for me. Or, I've had a bit of a sensitive bum this week and I don't feel like doing any anal play. Fine. Like I said, if it's something new that you want to incorporate, try and let us know in advance so we can prepare. We can quote you prices if necessary. We can physically and mentally prepare. But if you want to remove something, you can let us know at any point if you don't want to go ahead with something that you usually do. That's fine. In terms of phrasing that, I've just given you a few options there. You can say that, and you can be honest as you like, but if you want some sort of fallbacks, it can be that, that area is a little bit sensitive. Can we not? Can we do something different? Is fine to say. I've decided that that's not working for me at the moment. I want a little bit of a break from doing this, or I've been really enjoying this more. Those are all ways that you can sort of say those things. You don't need to worry about our feelings. You know, tact is always nice, but really it's your money and we want you to have a really good time. So you should do what's right for you.
The other thing with like texting us or emailing or whatever in advance, which obviously we always have to say, I know they do things very differently in the USA, and stuff like that can be used as evidence. So this is very much specific to the jurisdictions that we're in and Australia wide, really, even though there is criminalization here, but generally discussions do happen outside of the bookings. So I have a regular who, after a few sessions, when he booked his next one, he said to me, hey, would you be okay with initiating round two? Because I get a bit awkward and don't know how to initiate. And I found that so useful. I thought it was really great. He obviously did it in writing because it was something he felt awkward about. Mm. So it was better for him to do it that way than ask me in the session. Then I was able to be prepared for that. And I found it incredibly beneficial because, you know, as providers, like our brain is going every second of the booking, like where they're working, right? And so like we are constantly trying to work out what the client wants and needs. And so not everyone can go twice in a certain amount of time, right? A lot of people can't. So we don't want to put the pressure on. Like we don't want to initiate again and then have them be like, oh, sorry, I'm letting you down. But if somebody has said to me, you like, go on, I want to try and do it, then I'm like, great, I will do that. That's absolutely fine. But I don't want to just initiate without knowing. Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot to say that I found that, really, really great. The only other thing I would say to this is to be specific, because if you say, hey, can we do something different? That's really difficult for us. You have to remember that we have a very wide spectrum of things that we can do. The world of sex and intimacy is incredibly broad. Mm-hmm. And when you say, oh, I want to try something different, we need some guidance. And if if you're embarrassed about it, it's only like it's not helping to say, I want to try something different. Yep. You need to say, can you please put a finger in my butt? I want you to peg me. I'd like to be tied up. Like, and the provider may well say, oh, look, actually that's something I can't offer or whatever. But you have, and that, like, as Holly said, we're not hurt by that. It's not like, it's just a conversation about what can and can't be done.
How do I ask my provider how recently they were tested for STIs? And somebody else has added, I am curious about the STD check question. Whenever I ask a provider, she bites my head off. Just don't.
Yeah, the short answer to this is that you don't ask. Yeah, just don't. Simple as that. As we've covered on the show, sex workers have consistently lower rates of STI transmission than the general public, and that is based on studies that were conducted under a decrim environment, so particularly in places where sex work is legal, but most particularly where it is decriminalized, that is the case. Also, the problem with this is, and again, we have covered this on the show, but the issue is for a lot of us, if you ask if we are quote unquote clean, and do not use that language, if you ask if we've been tested, if we're free from STIs, we are going to be on guard and worried that that means you're going to be pushing for natural services and things that we don't offer. So that's the biggest concern. But the other thing is that it just reeks of stigma. And we are so used to just being told that we are dirty and unclean whores. So when somebody, you know, at the front of their mind is like, but what about all the diseases you might have? It's really unsexy for us. It's really very unsexy. It's really great to be aware of sexual health, to be thinking about that. You should do your own research and know about STIs, know what the risks are. Use barrier protection to the level that you are comfortable with. Get tested regularly. And that's how you stay safer.
Yeah, being contacted by somebody who wants to have sex with you, who also is like, yes, but also you're dirty, as the underlying message that they're sending you, is really unpleasant. Like, I want to fuck you, but also ill. It just doesn't really get many of us going. If you are really that concerned about your sexual health, then I would recommend you go and get your regular tests. You use the barrier protection, as Jenna said, that is suitable for you. And if you're really, really that concerned, because there is a risk with any sexual activity that you have, if you're that stressed about it, then practice abstinence. That is, they're the things that you can do for your own health. In terms of what sex workers are doing, well, I would say most sex workers take really great care of their sexual health, and research actually says the same thing. But you don't know anyone else's situation, and that's a risk you take anytime that you have sex. So that your health is your own thing to manage, and that's on you.
Yeah, the only safe sex is no sex, frankly.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, in my opinion. But if you are riddled with anxiety over the possibility of catching something from someone, and that sounds like a route straight to agoraphobia. So good luck with that. Maybe get some therapy. Now, Holly, next question. Is it appropriate to ask when a worker is going to retire?
I actually think, I said actually as if my answer is going to be controversial. I think general feelers are fine. I think if you have a really good relationship with a sex worker, I don't think you should really ask it in your first booking. When are you going to retire? Maybe that's a little bit intense. Unless it's towards the end and you've had the most amazing time ever, that's okay. But I think, yeah, just putting your general feelers out. I don't have a problem with sort of, you know, is this a long-term thing? Or are you planning to move or whatever? Because I really enjoy what we have and this is great and I'd really like to keep doing this for a while. No worries. I think that's really, really sweet. I always find that really charming. And that's fine. Specifics, I don't think so. So unless somebody has said, I'm going to be retiring in 6 months, I still don't think you should ask specifics in that situation. You don't need to know why, where they're going, what they're doing. But I guess unless they've said, I'm retiring in 6 months and you want to say, will that be at Christmas time or should I get my booking in before November? That sort of thing's okay. But yeah, I think asking a worker, will you be retired by the year 2025 is maybe a little bit intense, but are you planning to stay in Canberra? That's fine. I've had a few clients ask me similar things and I can give them a really rough idea of my life plans. And that's, I don't know, it's a nice feeling for me to know that I'm valued, but also I think it's nice, similarly with my providers, as we've discussed, I'm sure on the show before, I really loved my GP. My GP left Canberra. Tragic. I really love my psychologist and I like knowing that she's probably not going to move anytime soon. And other service providers that help give you a sense of support and stability and joy in your life, it's nice to know that they might be around for a little while. So personally, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I've had a number of clients say things to me like, you know, you're never allowed to leave the industry, like as a joke.
Yeah.
And I say the same thing to my psychologist. And I think that's absolutely fine. It's a compliment. Like, no dramas with that.
Yeah.
I think it's just the way you phrase it, as I think the what Holly said about, so is this something you're planning on doing long term? Because I've really enjoyed our time together, I think is the way to phrase it. Rather than, so when will you move on from this?
Yeah.
Right. Because that, again, is a bit of a red flag for us in terms of stigma, because it makes us think of this idea that we're all just doing it until we find our proper job. So definitely framing it in the positive around the longevity rather than the shortness. What's the opposite of longevity? The short-evity.
Short-evity, yeah. Yeah. That's in the
short-evity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, if the underlying message is I love our time together, that's one thing. And if the underlying message is this is not a real job and when are you going to do something else, like then that's fucking shit.
Anyway, yeah, obviously.
Totally cut that out. I'm just vibing it.
No, that was a good way of summing it up.
I usually book the deluxe service, but funds are tight at the moment. Oh, we feel you guys. We feel you. And I'd still like to spend some time with her. Will she get the ick if I book a cheaper service?
I think this is such a good question because I think a lot of people are going through this. I have had clients ask me this question And no, the answer is absolutely not. She will not get the ick. I think it's important to say that we put up the services we provide because that's what we want to provide for that price. So if I wasn't comfortable offering my time at a cheaper rate, then I wouldn't have that there. I think I speak for most of us. There might be exceptions when we say we would rather have $50 than not have the $100, right? We would rather see you for a cheaper service than not see you at all. And also, it's really nice in terms of variety. It's great to have like different experiences with each other. Obviously, all different providers offer different things. I'm thinking from my perspective, where the only two kind of options, or aside from like Zoom calls and online things, would be a full service booking or a cuddles and chats booking. And I have a couple of clients that go back and forth between the two, and it's really great. We have these different experiences and it's really nice. And it's almost like, it's a bit more like what happens when you're dating, right? Because sometimes you don't always feel like doing the whole thing. Sometimes you just want to cuddle all night. And yeah, so please, please don't let that idea stop you from booking a service that we offer for a cheaper rate. Because yeah, we're happy to offer it for that rate.
I think Jenna has just hit the nail on the head with everything there. She's said it perfectly. The variety is really fun. So we are just happy to see you. I know I have clients who are like, oh, will you see me as stingy if I book a quickie? And I'm like, as Jenna said, I wouldn't have the quickie service available to people if I didn't want to do it. And sometimes for 2 weeks in a row, I'll have every booking I have is an hour booking, or every booking I have is 4 hours. And it's just really nice to have somebody break that up with a different amount, whether that be someone does a 4 hour booking in the 1 hour week, or somebody does a 1 hour or a 15 minute booking in the 4 hour week or whatever. It's really, really fun to just have a variety of time allotments, a variety of service types. Like you said, there's the snuggle kind of sessions, there's full service. Sometimes I do the social bookings as well, and we go out and we have a day out, like you said, more akin to dating vibes. And that variety feels great. And I never, ever once have had any of my clients book a shorter service and thought, oh, like what a cheap ass. I've had a client that I've been seeing for years who recently said, look, I'm just going to book 45 minutes from now on. And is, you know, is that okay? I don't care. Book whatever you need and we'll have a good time. So I just love to see you guys. And obviously Jenna put that better than I could have ever put it. So
I recently saw someone on tour who had booked for half an hour. And I think the last time I saw them, they booked for an hour and a half. I think it was longer than half an hour. And I saw the booking came through and I was like, okay, cool. He must just want half an hour, like, great, whatever. And then it turns out in the booking, he said to me he was really frustrated because he wanted to book longer, but there was only the half an hour available because my booking system has limits as to how many hours I will take in a day. And I was like, oh, right. So he actually did want longer. But anyway, the point is just that I just thought you wanted the half, like, you know, you might be having a busy day, or you might just only want to spend that much time. I don't tend to think that it's because it's cheaper. I just tend to think that's what you're after.
And if it is because it's cheaper, we get it right now. Like at the moment, this cost of living crisis, we don't need to go on and on about it, but everyone is cutting back where they can. I'm not getting my skin lasers all the time. I'm saving costs on various things that I buy. And if you suddenly go, I only want to see my sex worker once a month or however often for a shorter service or for a cuddle service because I just need the intimacy and not necessarily the sexual side of things, and all of that's fine. Whether it's a financial decision or just that you want a different service, that's fine. We're cool. We love it.
Okay. So similarly, another question is, so she's put her rates up and I just can't afford them anymore. What should I say?
That's such an awkward one because it depends on so many things, like about why this is a problem or what the problem is here. If it's that you simply cannot afford a booking at all with her,
my answer is you don't say anything. If you can't afford it, you don't book it.
That is actually what I've written here on my notes for the episode actually say, don't say anything, save up. And I want to be a little bit more delicate than that though, because yeah, I mean, if she's put her prices up and that means that it's a little bit more expensive and that you need to save for a few more weeks or a month or whatever it is, if this is something important to you that you want to see a sex worker regularly and that this is a sex worker that you like, then like any luxury or any treat that you get for yourself in life, you make that effort to put a little bit more aside and to plan for that treat or that bit of enjoyment. That's what we all do as adults. And that's what we all do in a cost of living crisis, is decide, prioritize what's important to us and make efforts to budget for those things if that's what we want. But yeah, if they put them up and you just decide that you can't justify seeing that sex worker anymore, then, you know, she doesn't really need to know. I feel like if she sends you a message and checks in and says, hey, it's been 6 months and I haven't seen you and I'm just wondering if you're okay, which I don't think a lot of sex workers do, but I know sometimes in quiet times they will, that's fine. You can then say, look, it just hasn't really been in the budget lately, you know, but hopefully I'll get to catch you down the track or something. But telling her your rates are too expensive is never going to get you anywhere, I just don't think it's necessary. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's like anything, if something gets too expensive for you, then
yeah,
you don't buy it. And as for what should you say, nothing. It's as simple as that. You find a cheaper option, or yeah, as Holly said, you see them less frequently, or you book a cheaper service or for less time. But it's kind of none of the provider's business, really. And if you're thinking, oh, I should let her know because she needs to know that it's you know, too expensive and people won't pay it, if that is the case, yeah, she will drop her rates. If people aren't paying it, you know, and you can wait and hope that that happens, but she's probably just found some clients who are willing to pay it. So, yeah, that's that.
I really enjoy going down on a woman, but what if I get down there and it smells bad? What's a polite way of dealing with that?
Okay, so this is another one where there's two different extremes of it. So first of all, bodies smell, genitals smell. Like when people, even if they've very recently showered, you know, there might be a bit of a musk, and that is fine. Like there's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. We're not, I mean, Holly doesn't know this, but human beings, we do smell.
No. I gathered. Yeah.
She knows, but
I know how things work generally.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I think this is similar to the what if she looks different from her photos thing, where if you are expecting us to smell like a doll, you're not going to get that. We are going to smell like a human being. That being said, if there is a really extreme smell, or like something really strong, I actually think most of us would prefer you say something, because it could actually mean that something's Ooh. Wrong. Oh, you don't agree?
Well, I don't know. I've never smelt a vagina. So to me, I don't know. I guess I would prefer to know, but I guess how they tell me,
yeah,
I would find it really confronting. But I think that's also because I wouldn't want to not know. Yeah, but you'd still want to know. Yeah, no, I agree. I still think, ooh, it's an intense one, isn't it?
Well, similarly, I can have quite a weak sense of smell. I have a lot of sinus issues. And so it's possible that I wouldn't know. So if somebody was down there and they smell, and I'm like, it would have to be quite strong, I would like to know, because particularly because this is my job and I'm going to be spreading my legs for other people, but more than that, for my health, you know. But I need to be really clear and say that if somebody does have a strong smell down there, and there is something wrong, like maybe they have bacterial vaginosis, that is not a sign that they are an unclean person. That doesn't mean necessarily that they haven't showered, or, you know, there are just bacteria, pH, things get out of whack. It happens. Same with taste. Like I think for a lot of women, when you're going down on them, the first kind of stuff that comes out can be quite like sour, and then after a while it kind of goes away, and that, like, that's quite common. So again, like, we're not gonna we are gonna have smells and tastes, But if something particular, I guess if you've seen her before maybe, and then this time she smells really different, that would be worth saying, hey, it's not a drama for me, but I just wanted to let you know in case there's any problem that it seemed like you smelled a bit differently down there. I know that's so hard to do. Maybe I would probably, I can see myself being like, no, I can't say it. And then afterwards texting them, maybe that's the wrong thing to do. But I reckon that's, I'd be like, hey, it was not a problem for me, but I just wanted you to know for the next person or whatever, you know, that there was a bit of something. The other thing is, like, yeah, we all have smells and we're attracted to different pheromones and stuff. And maybe you just don't find that person's stink that attractive, and that's okay. And maybe you'd rather go down on someone else. That's cool too. Do you have any thoughts, Anosmia Holly?
It's hard for me to have thoughts. In general, but particularly when it comes to things about smell. I believe, or I know, let's go back to I know, I have a very strong taste down there. I am incredibly lemony, and like lemon candy. And I have had all of the tests done for every pH imbalance, yeast imbalance, bacteria, all of that. And everything when I've had those tests has been fine. No dramas. Everything's within the parameters it should be. I just naturally have a like a lemon candy tasting genital area, and that is me. So, yeah, like you said, some people, that is just their natural taste or smell or whatever. And, yeah, bodies do have tastes and smells. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. But, yeah, like you said, particularly if it's a provider that you have seen previously where there has been a marked difference, then, yeah, I would want to know. Even though I'm like, oh, it would be so awkward, I think – for your health and as you said, because you're going to be seeing other people, and to know that for weeks you might have had something really a horrifying odor down there is a really upsetting thought. So you'd have to take one for the team, clients, and do the right thing and let us know. Gently, tactfully.
Yeah, tricky. Yeah,
intense.
It's a tough one. Sorry, I don't know if we helped you because we're a bit unsure as well. But okay, next question is, I don't like something that they're doing. What do I say that won't offend them?
I suggest that you don't say that you don't like what they're doing, but rather suggest the way that you do like it. Or as I said before, even the things like I'm not that into this lately, or I've found that I enjoy something else more. You can always sort of cushion things like that if you do need to sort of steer people away from that thing. But I think generally, rather than saying, oh, I don't like that, saying, oh, I really like it when you do this is always a more constructive thing to say. But yeah, if I think I did cover it mostly before, but yeah, if it is something that you have been doing usually and you want to change that up, then just saying, yeah, that thing that we usually do, it just hasn't been working for me lately. Can we try this instead?
I do think sometimes, I think that's really good advice, but I do think that sometimes it's really, like, if there is something that you just do not like, it's actually really helpful to know. Because, like, for instance, I had a client not too long ago who hates a blowjob, like hates having a mouth anywhere near his penis, basically. And that, I will say, is pretty rare. There's plenty of people who aren't that into getting blowjobs, plenty of penis owners, but I've found it really rare to find anyone who really does not want that to happen. So that was really important information for him to convey to me, a particular, like, I'm somebody who... I like, if something is flying by my face, I put my mouth on it. Like, I'm quite, I like putting my mouth on things. So like, that was information that I really needed to know, basically. And rather than him, you know, if I started doing it and he went, hey, how about we do this? How about, like, that wouldn't have given me the message.
Right. Okay.
That no, actually, I do not want this to happen. And that's a pretty extreme example, because I do think that is quite rare. But yeah, if there is something that you absolutely do not like, another one that we come up against is people don't like things because they have trauma around that thing.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you don't have to go into the trauma. Like, you don't have to say why. but I do think it's really useful. If there's something you absolutely do not like, just say it.
Yeah, no.
It's so much better if you say, hey, I actually really don't like that. So, like, you're doing so well, mm-hmm. but I actually don't like it.
Yep.
I think that's important to say.
I'm going to walk back my response.
But agree that, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm going to walk no. back my response and concede that Jenna is correct here. Yeah, I did say don't say that you don't like something someone is doing. But yeah, I think for the sake of boundaries, it probably is right that if you definitively do not like something, and yeah, particularly if it's around trauma, that yeah, it is better to be clear. And like we said before, we won't be offended because it's literally our job, and we're just trying to do what you will enjoy. Yes. So that's fine.
But now I concede, I think that there are situations where what you said is more appropriate. If it's a case of just being like, I'm actually just not into this thing. Mm. It's not doing anything for yeah. me. In that case, I think what you said is perfect. Going, you know, oh, how about we do this thing instead? Yeah. Like that makes, you know, it's not causing you any dramas, but it's also not doing anything and you'd rather be doing something else.
I'm falling in love. Will he cut me off as a client if I tell him?
Quite possibly.
Mm.
so, again, this is something we have talked about on the show. If you have those feelings, whether or not you should tell your provider. And, you know, every provider has a different reaction to this. It's something we've all dealt with. It's something that if we haven't dealt with it, we're kind of prepared for it anyway. So it's not new for us, but to answer this question, will the provider cut you off? I think it is more likely, yes, they will cut you off than not, from what I've heard other providers say. I personally have not cut someone off for this reason. I don't see it as a reason to cut them off. I'm happy to continue seeing them so long as they understand that absolutely they may feel that way, but the relationship is still what the relationship is. But a lot of people I speak to in this industry would absolutely just go, oh, okay, well, that's the point at which this needs to come to an end. I've said before on this show that if the provider wants to develop the relationship beyond client provider with you, they will tell you. They don't need to know that you're into them. They already know you're into them because you're paying hundreds/thousands of dollars to be with them. So there's not really a reason for them to tell you is what I'm saying, because it's not going to lead to an outcome where you ride away into the sunset together. Because if they felt the same way, they would have already brought that up, or they will bring that up in time. Yeah, it doesn't really do you any favors to say it, is what I would say.
I still, however many episodes later, disagree that your worker would tell you if they have feelings for you, just because I'm not that kind of person. But that's that might be me and my strange inability to express emotions, which I will continue in therapy. But yeah, I don't think a client telling me that they have feelings for me, alone is reason for me to cut a client off personally. I respect all other workers' decisions around that kind of thing. We all run our businesses differently and we all have our own emotional, and psychological boundaries that are right for us. But yeah, somebody expressing that in itself is not a problem. Historically, when it has become a problem is when I've had a few clients sort of begin to do sort of neurotic, manipulative things. And I've noticed, I don't really know how to give examples, but sort of controlling behaviors or accidentally being in the area and can we catch up while I'm nearby and things like that. Or one of them who sort of said, oh, I can't continue to see you as a worker anymore because I have feelings for you. And I said, I so understand that. Good luck with everything. And then they contacted me a few weeks later and said, oh, well, actually, no, I really want to see you as a provider now because, and I believe that's because I didn't ride off into the sunset with them. I think that they thought them ending the provider relationship would mean that I'd go, oh, okay, well, let's date then. And when that didn't come through, they came back to try and have another booking. And I just felt like, yeah, I'm just not playing games. So I think when you're you're reaching a point where I feel like you're unable to make sensible decisions or rational decisions in our relationship, then that's a problem for me, and I don't really want to engage in that anymore. But if you're getting a real thrill and really appreciate me as a person and you know, admire and have all those I'm doing a little quotations, love feelings for me, then that's so nice. And I think that's lovely. And if we can understand the parameters of the relationship and the limitations of it and enjoy a mutually beneficial thing, then fuck yeah, I'm happy with that. So, but yes, sorry, back to answer the actual question. Will they cut you off? So many providers will, and a lot won't. Like Jenna said, I actually do not think there's much point in letting your provider know if you do have feelings for them. I think you can express admiration. I think you can tell them that you would really love to date someone like them, or in another lifetime, they would be the ideal partner for you. Those sorts of things are lovely to hear. But I don't think it's going to change much for the positive if you do say that you're falling in love with your provider.
Yeah, and those of us who aren't as emotionally stunted as Holly can often tell anyway. Like, we know when you're falling in love.
Oh.
Or it's not even falling in love. Like, sometimes it's just when you're clearly crushing, or, you know, you're developing a bit of an infatuation, a healthy infatuation. You know, we can often tell. So, yeah. Okay, Holly. Oh, this is a fun one. What do I say to my provider when their body has changed and I'm not so attracted to them anymore?
I mean, we don't need to tell you guys. This is it's fucking dumb. I have had clients. My weight has fluctuated many, many kilos over the past, let's say, 10 years. But in fact, my whole entire life, but particularly in the past 10 years, I'm up, I'm down. I'm, you know, I have clients request certain outfits, and I'm like, babe, that outfit was like a skinny Holly outfit, and skinny Holly's not skinny, but like those outfits that hasn't fit me for 5 years. Like, you will never be able to tell what sort of clothes are available to me for a booking, because my size goes up and down, and that's what it is. And if you want to see me, you see me, and if you don't, well, I have had clients mention my body before and say, not necessarily disparaging things, but sort of go, oh, you've changed a little bit lately, and I feel like you don't need any alcohol at the moment, or I didn't bring you sweets because I thought you might need a little break from sweets. I've had clients say that. Yeah.
What? Facial expression.
Yeah. I will say.
Oh, my God.
I will say I do think.
As though that's the only way you can get sweets.
Yeah.
As though you can't go and buy them yourself. So they will prevent you from eating them.
Wow. I do think in this instance, at risk of being problematic, okay, and somebody might find this problematic, so who knows. But I do think in this instance, the people that I have heard those sorts of things from, it is a cultural difference, I believe. And I think perhaps in the community that those people sort of come from, it maybe that's a little bit everything that you do bring up at the risk of, I don't know, we need to cut me saying that out or not, but I feel like maybe that's just a thing that's okay to discuss. But for us, it can be a little bit more shocking. And it's fine. I take it as it's intended, because generally these are clients that are otherwise really lovely and we have a great history and everything's okay. And I know that a lot of people conflate body size with health, and they just don't, a lot of people don't understand the massive clusterfuck that is weight and women's body image and body image in general and all of that sort of stuff. So I just try to glaze over it, but like a donut. If your provider's body has changed and you're not attracted to them, find someone else. Really. God, we are so much more than our bodies. We are complex, incredible individuals, just as you are as a client. And most of our clients I know love us for, you know, obviously we're sexy little minxes, but they love us for who we are all over. And similarly, as a client, if you turn up and you've gained weight, I'm not going, oh, well, he's gained an extra bit of, I'm not into, I don't fucking care. You're a person. You're nice to me. We have a good time. That's what's important. And I would hope that goes both ways. And if it doesn't, that's fine. That's fine. Sorry. I'm sorry you don't find me attractive, but there's plenty of other options out there, and it's not the end of the world for me. So that's my take.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I fully agree with everything. As somebody as well who has fluctuated heaps over their time in the industry and over their time on this planet, I was just, as you were, you know, saying some of those things, Holly, I was thinking, you know, if we could handle this mentally, we could do a whole episode on the shit people have said about our bodies. And yes. I would say when I've been losing weight, I get far more negative comments. I think that's because it's considered socially more acceptable to comment on the way someone looks when they're losing than when they're gaining. I still get it both ways, but I get a lot of comments on my body whenever I'm losing weight. And similarly, you know, I've had people literally who are just like, oh, you know, tap my belly and say, oh, you're stacking it on a bit.
I'm
like,
me too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am. I'm not sure why we're raising this as a conversation point. Like, what? Anyway, that is a whole, yeah, we could go into so much detail about having a body, having an appearance yes. in this industry and how we deal with that. But to answer the question, what do I say when their body has changed and I'm not as attracted to them anymore? You don't say anything. You move on. Correct. They absolutely do not need to know because, and this is the thing as well. I think we can both tell having fluctuated, there are people that want us at every size, every shape.
Oh, yeah.
And so for every person that, you know, like criticized me for losing weight and was sad that my boobs got smaller, there was somebody else who prefers smaller women. So, you know, it doesn't like, we don't care, babe.
Mm. I had a client the other day who said to me, I can't remember what he said. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm a little bit bigger at the moment. And he said, that's why I booked. And I was like, oh, you just keep an eye on my stuff and see when I'm a bit chunkier, do you? And we had such a giggle about it. Yeah. It's just really cute. You know? that's what it comes down to. I'm like, I've spent so much of my life trying to control my body and make it one way or another. And I'm sure there will be times when I am quote unquote healthier and when I'm and see healthier can be curvier. I just want to clarify that. And even then when I'm skinnier mm-hmm. and potentially unhealthier, let's not conflate those things. But I'll be all sorts of weights all of my life. And if I'm just trying to do it to please other people, I'll drive myself insane. So it is what it is. Suppose a client runs into a provider he's seen before. What's the best way to acknowledge her? I can understand why it would be creepy and invasive to approach, but I also feel like it's rude to completely ignore a person's presence. Is a little nod or smile okay?
All right, so I'm triggered by this question.
Ooh.
I think we know, regular listeners of the podcast will know how I feel yeah. about the concept of politeness. Just this line, I'm sorry to this person, but just this line about I feel like it's rude to it completely ignore. Like you've said, I can understand it being creepy and invasive, but oh, isn't it rude to, and it's like, well, wouldn't it be rude to ignore the fact that you know it's creepy and invasive? Mm. That's what's rude. Like, oh, very upsetting. That being said, someone like me, I'm very, very out, as we know. I am absolutely fine personally with a nod or a smile, but I would not use that as a general rule for providers. I would say that if you see a provider out in public or online in a space not as their provider persona, then the default is to ignore their presence. Absolutely. Yeah, that's, yeah. It's not rude. You're actually being far more respectful by doing that.
What she said, 100%. I, particularly with regulars, if I've only met you once, I really, in the nicest way, you really don't have to go out of your way to say hi to me. I might not even recognize you in public because just that's sometimes how brains work. But if we've been seeing each other for years and you see that I'm alone and you're alone, a little smile or a nod or a hey gown is fine. No worries. But yeah, generally with most sex workers, you don't know their relationship. You don't know who they're out to. I think it's not worth the risk and just better to pretend you haven't seen them. Also, we have discussed on the show before, sometimes we just don't like to be perceived when we're out in public doing our things in our tracky dacks and with our hair a mess and all of that sort of thing. And we prefer to just not believe that anyone has seen us. And so if you can just pretend you haven't, yep. so we can just enjoy being an anonymous person doing our grocery shopping or whatever, that's actually really polite as well.
Amen. I mean, that, yeah, it's such a good point. like I've had men like smile at me or kind of like hold the eye contact a bit longer in public. And I genuinely, I'm like, oh, are they recognizing me from the internet or have we banged? I literally don't know. And yeah, as Holly said, like if you're a regular, like I know you, if I've seen you a few times that I know you, but if you've seen me once and you're expecting me to recognize you, like I'm sorry, babe, but I don't know if you're aware I'm actually a whore. And I don't remember everyone I've ever slept with.
You've banged a few men? What?
I've one or two, yes.
One or two, right.
And then you don't know. You're like, oh, maybe it's none of those things and they just, like, think I'm attractive. But then you're like, well, it's obviously not that because why would it ever be that, you know?
Never that. So
anyway, disgusting. Okay, our final question is, if I have sent a text to my usual provider for a booking and she hasn't replied in 2 days, does that mean she's not interested? I think this one's really interesting because we've answered questions before about making the initial contact and not getting a response.
Yeah.
But this is about, sounds a like somebody who they've seen a few times, and that is interesting.
This is a prickly one because if you start to push that sex worker, you can push her into the dreaded spiral. Mm-hmm. And once you push a sex worker into the spiral, the guilt spiral, where she hasn't replied and she feels the pressure to reply and she's like, I've got to reply. And then it gets longer and longer and she feels guilty about the length and then she feels bad. And where does she begin with the response? And that's been too long. And then it's fucked. And then you keep sending messages in between that going, hey, have I done something wrong? And she goes, oh, fuck, now I've got 5 messages from you to reply to. You can kill it. You can kill the whole freaking relationship. There is no escape.
It's the spiral is deadly.
It's so deadly. Look, 2 days obviously is probably unusual. If it's a provider that you see regularly and especially if the text is a booking inquiry, which they've said in this question it is, that would be unusual because most sex workers, I think, once they see the inquiry, they want to lock in the details and confirm the booking. That's usually a high priority for us to reply to. But there can be so many reasons why they haven't replied. We have so much going on in our lives, like any person, like any business owner, things fall to the wayside, as with this episode being a week late. You know, my cat was sick for a week and literally all I did was hold him for a week. You know, things fall apart.
And ferry him back and forth to the hospital.
Exactly. Oh my God, back and forth. And I was pretty on socials about that, but a lot of people won't. A lot of people go through their things in their lives and rightfully so, very privately. And they may very well keep up the social media presence. Like somebody said in one of the questions earlier, oh, I see that they're posting online or was that on here that we were talking about? Or was that something else? I forgot.
That was another question we got asked that we were like, that's not this.
Right.
So, this top, this, looking for?
That's not relevant. Sorry. So that was not in this episode. Okay. Sorry. So yes, they may very well be posting on social media, acting like everything's normal and you're not getting a response, but a lot of those posts can be auto-scheduled and sometimes they are just doing the basics to keep their brand looking normal while they're going through whatever they're going through and the messages are stacking up on their phone and they're going to get to that when they get the chance. So I would say, yes, it's unusual.
They also might be accessing their social media on their personal phone.
So true.
And they haven't turned their work phone on.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would say it's unusual if that's happening. I would maybe give it another day or two, send them another message. I think that's not a problem. And just check in and say, hey, I just wanted to make sure you've got the message that I sent you. I'm not sure if I'm having some technical issues on my end. Because you don't want to go in accusing somebody. It could be that. Sometimes it's that. I would really love to see you soon, but if you've got something going on, I understand. Hope to hear from you soon. Leave it in their court. Don't pester them. Don't go, oh, I need to see you on this day. We're running out of time. I need to know to book in my leave or whatever. Just leave it. Give them that open door to communicate when they're ready. And look, if you never hear back, then I would suggest you have possibly done something wrong, but maybe they're going through their own shit. Maybe they leave the industry. Maybe it's not for you to know. You don't know everything about every provider. They're not going to share all of their life with you and their personal details or the personal shit that they're going through. You can't solve all of the world's mysteries. So sometimes you won't get closure on things. And that is a sad fact of life. And one of the things that frustrates me most personally, I want all the answers. sometimes you'll just never know. but I think that that is probably the best approach.
Yeah, I agree. I always say one follow-up is worth doing. Like one follow-up is not harassment at all. That is a, hey, just checking you got this. I know you get a lot of messages. I know you're really busy. Just checking it went through. Whatever. That is great. Any more than that, then you are headed towards the spiral. You are sending her towards the spiral and it's probably not going to end well for anyone. But one follow-up is really worth doing. And I would also suggest, it depends what you're like, but like it's worth having a look at her socials because I've had situations, I take time off from work for different hobbies and things. And, you know, I've had situations where I've been posting on socials about this thing I'm doing all week. And then I check my work phone and someone's like, oh, you're not answering me. Can I see you? And I'm like, wow, okay, you are clearly not on my socials, which is not your fault. That's fine. But it's like, oh, you would have had the answer. If you had just gone and checked, you would have seen that I've been live tweeting from this event all week, you know. And also, I guess the other thing to keep in mind, we don't know what this provider is normally like. If she normally responds within an hour, then 2 days is ages. If she normally takes over a day to respond, then 2 days is not very long, you know. But, yeah, I think that's it. Send a follow-up, absolutely, a polite follow-up, and then just give up, I would say.
Doesn't mean she's not interested.
And it doesn't necessarily mean you've done something wrong. Doesn't? Yeah, it just, you've just got to let it go. Which it is a shame. Like we get it, but it does happen.
She might not be interested. That's the other thing. Sorry, but you might have fucked up. So good luck sleeping tonight. Our question of the week. Is there room for older ladies to succeed in sex work? I'm 48 years old.
Short answer is yes. Long answer is
fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. You know, I mean, we had Michelle Hardenbrook on the show who, did she turn 70? Was that how old she?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
No, I think she turned 70 just after the show, which she might be even older than that now. But anyway, she's the oldest guest we've had on the show. Yeah, that is how time works, correct. So she's the oldest guest we've had on the show, but I highly doubt she would be the oldest sex worker that there is. So many of us will tell you, you know, Holly and I both started when we were younger. I started in my 20s. You kind of, did you, you started before you turned 20, did you?
I started when I was 18, actually, I believe. 18? Yeah. Or 19.
And I think we can both tell you that the industry has only gotten better for us.
Yes.
We certainly, you know, I feel like I am a way better sex worker now than I used to be. And I think I am better. I do better by myself, if that makes sense. Like I work in a way that is healthy for me and that is sustainable. And I think that sort of thing often comes with age. We're only in our 30s though, but we have plenty of friends in their 40s. We have plenty of friends in their 50s. And they are, they are succeeding. They are having a great time. It's not uncommon at all. And, you know, insecure little boys on the internet will tell you that there is an age limit and they are wrong. We can tell, like, the facts are there.
I'd even like to counter that a little bit, the little boys thing, because I actually think from my experience in some forums is that it tends to be even like older men who like to put this date on women. Whereas I have heard anecdotally entirely that a lot of the people who are booking the women in their 50s and 60s are actually younger men who have, you know, in their 20s and, late 20s, early 30s, who just have a bit of a kink for a woman who knows her way around things a little bit more. So and that doesn't even need to be a kink. A kink is probably the wrong term for that, but that's what turns them on. So I think people of all ages can be discriminatory and stupid, but I think that people of all ages
I think you're right. And I think when I talk about little boys on the internet, I am referring to their, you know, emotional intelligence age.
Being mentally little boys.
Yes.
No, you're right. Fair.
Like there was that person on my TikTok today who I was like, wow, okay, so you are 12. And he was like, no, lol, I'm 39. And I was like, mate, that doesn't matter. You are 12.
You're still 12.
You're still 12.
Fair. Yeah, agreed.
And yeah, I think they, from what I hear, a lot of often the older you get in the industry, the more younger people you see as clients. But similarly, I think also, you know, there are a lot of clients who are in their 60s and 70s who don't want to be dating someone or, sorry, not dating, but intimate with somebody who's literally half their age or who's the age of their grandkids, you know. Yeah. So also there's a big market there.
Something for everyone.
Yeah. It's time for us to thank our glorious patrons. Our even more generous somebodies are the Ashley Stafford, the Rhiannon Rhodes, Lachlan, Timmy, Steve, Damo, Adele, Scott C, Leslie, Sub London, NK, Andrew, Wheezy, Mr. E, Simon, Nomad, Luke, Frankie, Cuddle Koala, Stanley, Witty Comment, and Alex.
Thank you to our extremely generous somebodies, Aaron, Andrew, Adam Smith, Pete, the Sienna, actual, literal, fucking glorious saint, Sienna saint for everyone out there obsessed with her, Tim, David, and Tom.
So thank you so much for submitting your questions. Certainly some of those were quite sticky, and I don't know if we managed to give you a clear answer, but hopefully we helped somewhat.
Yeah, hopefully at the very least it was entertaining, because that is our goal, education and entertainment. So if we can tick one of those boxes, we're really happy. Thank you so much for being so patient, guys, as well. We did have that delay because my idiot cat swallowed a toy. And thank you for joining us all the way through to 70 episodes.
Yes.
We are so proud and we're so grateful for all of the support.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Please look out for us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Patreon. Our name everywhere is Somebody You Pod, as in podcast. Our Patreon starts at just $3 a month, and you can get all of our episodes ad-free and a day early, plus bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes action, bloopers, and more. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the voices of sex workers. And remember, somebody you love might just be a sex worker.